You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Stephen Lawrence Sutler has three problems. He's lost $53 million, he's on the run, and he isn't really Stephen Lawrence Sutler. That's how The Kills by Richard House, a huge novel in four parts, begins. It moves from Iraq to Italy, from murder to fraud, and has a multimedia component. The Kills, which has been longlisted for the Man Booker Prize, is published by Picador. I'm very pleased that it brings Richard House, who is a professor of creative writing at the University of Birmingham, to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you very much for inviting me.
You tell the story in four short books that add up to around 1,000 pages. Did you write them separately? Can they be read as individual novellas?
The idea was that they could be read as individual novels, or they could be read in any order. I wrote them in two bursts. The third book is an independent crime novel, and I started that first, and then I set that aside. And I came to Yardo, and McDowell had these residences here, which gave me the opportunity to write over an extended period. And I started working on the Iraq stories, the Sutler, the Massive, and the Hit. So I knew the scope of the novel, and then I started winding in the first book.
Well, you're a professor of creative writing. Are people surprised that you've written books in these genres? Although they have also been described as art novels.
Yes, I think in the academy, there's a certain kind of writing that's expected, the literary novel, I guess. But it's not uncommon for writers to be really intrigued by other genres and to want to play.
Yeah. And that's what you were doing here. You were playing the conspiracy thriller.
Yes, I think that's those tropes are really interesting, I think. And, you know, thinking of the reader, that's what can engage you with the subject. And
The Kills was released originally as an ebook, wasn't it?
Did
that mean it was hard to get a publisher for it in hardcover until you got the kind of response you did, for example, shortlisted by the Man Booker?
It was quite the opposite. Book first came out in the UK with Picador, and they were intrigued by the idea of these sort of this articulated story across four novels, and they opened up the idea about what's the best way to publish this as one big book, as four separate books over a series of time, and they felt that digitally it gave them the opportunity to one book could come out each month, and then once that proposal was sort of on the table, the publisher put together a team to work together, and because I trained as an artist, I'd developed some visual material that I didn't really expect to use, but it had helped me with the writing. And once it became a digital project, I was able to use those. So that they have about 40 extras, little films and audio that I developed.
But you don't have to listen to the audio or see the visuals to understand what the novel's about. But it probably was fun for you because it allowed you to go to all sorts of different places to photograph.
I travel a lot. I'm quite lucky. And I had plenty of material to use. And once the project was really going, then I traveled specifically to get material to use. The idea was that these smaller pieces would add to the narrative, but they wouldn't change the main story.
Can people access the extras even if they don't read the book?
Yes, they're online. I think they're accessible through Picador.
Now, you were raised in a military family, I understand.
Yes.
How much of your own experiences did you use in writing this book? Because I read that the first book draws upon something that happened to your father.
It does. My father was in the RAF, and when I was very young, he was away for 2 years unaccompanied. In Aden and Mazira, and I think it was in Aden he was blown up. He was in a room where there was a package. They were checking the package for people who were traveling, and it went off. He wasn't physically hurt, and never really spoke about it. And it's just when he came back, it was sort of this abstract story, really, a very strange event.
But when you were reading about IEDs in places like Iraq, that must have resonated with you.
Absolutely, yes. And my sister has a son who served in Iraq, so I was aware of certain sort of narratives, certain sort of experiences and stories.
The Kills moves from Italy to Iraq, to Chicago. You mentioned that you spent a fair amount of time in Chicago and at various American retreats for artists. But have you spent much time in Iraq?
I spent no time in Iraq. I was pretty clear. At the time, it would have been difficult to travel. And it didn't seem necessary because I knew what I wanted to write about. This was about a military base, and I'm really familiar with that environment. It was about people in the desert, which wasn't so hard to imagine. And I've been to boarding school, so I'm pretty used to the way that boys and men can behave.
And much of it takes place in Iraq after the American,
yes,
or American slash British,
yeah,
invasion.
Oh, yeah.
So were you intending this to be about the British in relation to the war?
I think that's a good question. When I first started writing, I was here, and there were in the US there was a lot more being written at that time about non-combatants who were in Iraq, and also the treatments that soldiers were receiving on their return, and that really intrigued me.
And that wasn't happening in Britain?
There wasn't that discussion so much that I was aware of.
Because Tony Blair was very hurt by his support of the war, wasn't he, politically?
Very, very hurt. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when the commission come out with their report, but it's pretty clear that the British public were deceived. So,
unlike the American public, which was deceived. Richard House's novel, or four novels, however you want to describe it, The Kills, which incorporates Butler, The Massive, The Kill, and The Hit. He's our guest. Didn't you meet Eva Orner, producer of the documentary Taxi to the Dark Side, when you were writing the novel?
I did, yes. This was at Yardo, and we're still friends. We're still in touch. She's working on a documentary at the moment in Australia about Australian treatment of immigration.
And what did she tell you? Did she tell you things that you incorporated in the book?
Pretty much. I felt I was sort of discovering stuff when I was there. I was reading articles and talking with her about them, and she had plenty of knowledge and materials that she gathered for Taxi to the Dark Side. So it wasn't so much that there was something specific. It was just, and this is what's so good about McDowell and Yardo, is you're in an environment where there are people who sort of understand, you know, the different sort of processes and sort of support that.
Did you see the film? That's Alex Gibney.
Alex Gibney, yeah. And Eva was a producer on that. Yes, it's a remarkably good film.
You've been pretty open about your influences here. Mm. Roberto Bolaño.
Yes.
His novel 2666. I always wonder how to say that, whether it's 2666.
The amount of times I've talked about it.
2666. How was that an influence?
My first impulse was I basically just wanted to write a small crime novel. And I went to Italy because it was very cheap to go there. And I wanted to speed up my writing. It takes me a long time to write. I was traveling in Italy. I went to Naples almost by accident and thought that being in Naples would help write the novel.
And it did or didn't? I love Naples.
You can get great pizza there. But
it
became a problem because everybody I met, I did a lot of research. I met quite a few people, like an anti-mafia judge and a fireman. Like, it's really, really interesting people. And one of the problems was that people I met when I said I was in Naples to write a novel, they could guess it would be a crime novel. Mm-hmm. And so there were certain sort of stereotypes about writing that I found really problematic. And I set the book aside and found writing quite difficult. And it wasn't until I read 2666 that it made sense, that that book is hugely interesting.
What about some of the other writers that you've been compared to? Thomas Pynchon, John le Carré, William Gaddis?
I don't know Gaddis too well. And Carré he's interesting, I think, because, he's had such a career, hasn't he? The work has good breadth to it. It's interesting to see how he works in projects, and it's interesting that the work straddles literary and fairly popular. And Pynchon, I'm not hugely familiar. I just read The Crying of Lot 149. Get the numbers right here, and which is an exceptionally strong book. And I can see there's a certain playfulness in his writing that I like very, very much.
You've done a lot of, you spent a lot of time in the United States. Mm. Do you see yourself as being part American, even though you're obviously very British and you maintain the good accent?
It was my intention. I came to the U.S. in 87 to study at the Art Institute.
And you remember the Chicago-based Art Collaborative, HaHa?
Yes. We worked together for 10 years. And it was my intention to stay.
And then you suddenly had to return to the U.K.?
Yes. I was here legitimately. I had a bunch of visas. And when I applied for an extension on one of them, I think I had three at the same time. And one needed an extension, and I heard back that no, I wouldn't get the extension, and in fact, I shouldn't have been here as long as I was, even though they'd given me permission. So.
Is your current visa in order?
I'm a tourist.
Was that a stroke of luck in a way, because you're now a professor of creative writing at the University of Birmingham? You might not have gotten that kind of a job here.
It's true.
Talking yesterday about how hard it is to get a tenure-track job in the United States.
It's a little different how it works in the UK. You sort of go through tenure when you get the job. Like they're pretty rigorous in picking you, and so you don't have that awful sort of hurdle to jump. No complaints now. Life is very sweet. I have a partner. I'm very happy. So
you were featured in an article by Aaron Hicklin in the August issue of Out magazine, alongside another novelist, Tom Rob Smith. And the article remarks on your success as a gay writer in the thriller genre, one that's typically dominated by straight male writers, and how your sexuality is inconsequential to what you write about. Were you ever worried that you would be labeled a gay writer?
No, I've written two other books, Bruiser and Uninvited, and Bruiser came out in 97 and was very much to do with AIDS and the AIDS crisis. But it's a very, it's quite a private book. When I returned to the UK, it's almost like I felt that I'd lost my subject in a way, because, I had considerably more rights in the UK than I had in the US. And it did feel that times were changing, that popular sort of understandings of what it is to be gay and that was all changing.
And now it's changing the other way. Same-sex marriage is legal and I think
here,
20
yeah.
states. It's not legal in the UK yet, is it?
It is, yes.
Oh, it is?
We had different rights of civil union. We've had those for a long time. So it felt that things sort of changed. I don't think things are perfect by any means, and they all seem, it seems, I don't know. It's in progress, let's put it like that.
Aren't you also the editor of Fat Boy Review, which is a digital literary magazine? That kind of works hand-in-hand with what you've done here, doesn't it?
It does, yes. At the moment, I'm working on a new edition to put up. It's a way to combine visual work and text-based work. And I think before I was working on the Kills, it was sort of a main outlet for trying to think, how do I work visually and with text?
So. Well, the Kills is a huge ambitious work. It's been called an epic novel. And the previous work, you say, was a lot smaller and more personal. Would you ever attempt anything this big again?
Yes, I would.
Did it help that you were doing it in four separate novels?
It did. I really like the idea of working across such a large scope. There's something quite liberating about that, that you can plant quite small ideas and then they blossom later in the novels. I really love doing that. And so I'm working on a new project at the moment, and I'm not quite sure how large it will be. I don't think it'll be 20 volumes.
Can you explain how people can get the ebook of Suttler, one of these books, through Twitter?
There was, I'm not sure if it works here, but in the UK you could go online to picador.com, and if you tweeted just the word Suttler, they would give you a password, I think, for the novel.
A nice way of promoting
it.
It didn't
sweet,
hurt
yes.
that it was also long-listed for the Man Booker Prize. Thank you so much for being on our show. Richard House, H-O-U-S-E, as it is pronounced. The book, The Kills, is published by Picador. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you very much. A great pleasure.